Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Well, as the title of my talk is really long, I won't repeat it. Thank you so much for the introduction. I have no commercial financial relationships that conflict at all with this talk. In fact, talk to me afterwards if you know of some that I could find. I'm just kidding. I'm going to briefly go over the fact that we worked on a project that involved early elective deliveries in the state of Mississippi. And as most of you know, but I'll go ahead and define that meant for us those non-medically indicated deliveries before 39 weeks of gestation. The literature did not show any proven health benefits, but many documented harms of this practice. And so this session will go over some of that evidence, as well as the partnerships that have been involved at the national and state levels to strategize ways to improve poor birth outcomes that are related to this practice. So why be concerned about early elective deliveries, particularly those deliveries that are between 37 and 38 weeks of gestation? Policymakers want to know what's the point of being concerned about a doctor or a mother deciding that they want to do this a little bit sooner. But there were many documented health harms in particular noted in the literature for the baby and the mother, just even post-delivery, that were much higher for those that delivered in that time frame rather than delivering by the 39-week frame. And there are also other documented long-term effects as well in terms of health. Now, as far as the problem across the nation, when I looked into this a little bit more, because full disclosure here, I'm not a maternal and child health expert. I'm a policy analyst, so I tend to look at whatever, you know, our policymakers are considering. So I have crossed fields, you know, because of that. So I really appreciate the opportunity to share this with you, and please correct me if I mess something up. But I found in the literature that the United States had shown a growing increase in this practice across the nation. There had been significant increases in induction rates and cesarean rates over time, just overall, not just elective deliveries, but just overall. And the problem, too, was a documentation in 2005 by the Institute of Medicine that showed all preterm deliveries had an economic impact of $51,600 per infant, which is really major for just an average per occurrence. Now, that's for any type of preterm. So in order to target improvements, as that problem was documented to have such an impact, I looked at where the nation had gone. And the rates had actually declined really quickly from 17% in 2010 to 11% in 2012. So that signaled to me as a policy analyst that there was maybe some policy that had been enacted in play. We usually see more rapid results that way. And so that intrigued me to look into it further, and that there was possibly a lot of collaboration involved. So I looked further at the states, and I noted that there was a wide variation in the rates. Some had a low of 5%, and some had a high of 25%. So there was still variation. So some, of course, were doing better than others. The rates, from what I'm understood from reading consensus statements from experts in the area, as professed by the March of Dimes, the agreed rate that states should achieve, or even local delivery centers, is less than 5% per whatever unit that would be. So the partnerships. Well, on the national level, I saw that there were initiatives in place led by the Classic Public Health leadership, the American or the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, which is, you know, a very active association of state health officers. Of course, the local health officers belong to a different group, but those are your mostly state health officers. Had partnered with the March of Dimes. There was also an active partnership through the Center for Medicaid and Child Health Services to discourage the practice and to also get the word out that we need to reduce elective deliveries. Also, in a more formalized arrangement, the Federal Health Researches and Services Administration implemented the COIN initiative with the states, and they partnered with states, particularly the states with the highest rates of infant mortality, to develop strategies to reduce poor birth outcomes specific to those states. And early elective deliveries, the reduction of that practice was one of the targets of that initiative. Also, the Joint Commission had added elective deliveries and their rates as a quality indicator for the hospitals that they accredit. So that was another signal that multiple partners, your payers, your providers, your providers of care, and then your federal and national organizations were really all on board to try and target this issue. So also, when I looked among the states, I saw collaborations within and among some of the states. There was an example of a rapid cycle initiative with five states that showed a really rapid reduction in their rates from almost 28% to 5%, about 4.8% within a 12-month time frame. So that was very impressive. As well as the state of South Carolina, which is of interest in a similar state to Mississippi in terms of demographics and in terms of politics. So they showed, with their collaboration and their birth outcomes initiative, a 45% reduction of early elective deliveries within a really short amount of time, and actually documented the savings to their state Medicaid program of $6 million within one quarter of 1 year. So that's a major finding that really speaks to policymakers often, particularly of states who budget. Oftentimes, you know, the Medicaid funding is the largest health line item in the budget. So back to Mississippi, we have the poorest birth outcomes in the nation. We have the highest rates of infant mortality. Our health folks have been working on this issue for a really long time. So there's a continued effort to try and implement strategies to reduce infant mortality in Mississippi. And with the documented evidence and activity through the COIN initiative, the State Board of Health adopted strategies to reduce early elective deliveries, as well as some of the others that are indicated as some of the top risk factors and drivers of poor birth outcomes. So how my center came into play is that we were asked to actually, by the State Department of Health in Mississippi, to compile the evidence and examine the impact of elective deliveries in our state. And our role also included translating and disseminating of the evidence in an issue brief on the topic, and with a particular target, the number one target audience of our work is policymakers. So we worked with the State Vital Statistics Office and found that the elective delivery rates from 2001 to 2012 were 8.5% in 2001 and had doubled to 16.5% by 2011. And being an epidemiologist by training, I can tell you I calculated that and it was statistically significant. So it was definitely a growing problem in Mississippi, or a growing practice. Also, the vital records folks used their linked birth death data and analyzed the neonatal death rates for those elective deliveries at 37 weeks of gestation and those at 39 weeks of gestation, as well as 38. And we show, of course, the most significant neonatal death rates were found, and much higher, three times higher, at 37 weeks of gestation. So we had a link here in the evidence that, you know, this practice within 37 and 38 weeks for early elective deliveries was driving higher death rates within 28 days of life for our population within the time year time frame studied. So this had major implications for improvements in our state because of the fact that birth outcomes are so poor, but also because of the fact that preterm births are one of the top causes of death for infants in the state. So that impacts one out of every four. So altering the practice could potentially have a major impact on our overall outcomes. So in examining the evidence as far as policies that had shown success for impacting the problem, primarily those were payment reforms to discourage the practice, as well as scheduling policies within delivery centers that require medical indication if there's going to be a plan to induce or to have a cesarean birth before 39 weeks of gestation. Another dissemination strategy that we used was to actually inform our providers about the danger of the practice, because clearly it had become very widespread. So we wrote a journal article of the findings and published it in the Journal of the Mississippi Medical Association, because most physicians, as well as healthcare providers, are members of that group, and it's a widely read professional peer-reviewed journal in our state. So we had those findings published in August of this year. So the State Department of Health took this amongst their stakeholders, several stakeholders, the March of Dimes, the Hospital Association, many other groups, and rallied around it and used it to engage providers and policymakers and have a dialogue about the issue. And one example of that was actually a letter signed by the state health officer to all the delivery centers with a request to reduce the practice by the level indicated by the March of Dimes to below 5%. And in doing so, in return, would receive a banner on the State Department of Health's website and the March of Dimes website that they had volunteered to do that. And so that was one way that they used the evidence to tackle the problem. The findings we included in the issue brief were also attached to that letter, and I included those issue briefs in the back of the room if you'd like to take one home. If we run out, then I also have cards back there, and feel free to contact me. So also, just to update you on kind of where we are now, the State Department of Health has actually reported that 80% of hospitals have signed on to pledge to reduce their practice during just the year of 2014 alone. And anecdotally, we're showing starting to see declines in both early elective delivery rates and infant mortality rates, as reported by the state health officer and some of her updates she's given to the legislature and her employees. So also I'd like to note that in August of 2014, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Mississippi, one of the major private payers in the state for health insurance, no longer declared they would no longer pay for non-medically indicated deliveries before 39 weeks, beginning January 2015. So again, the health department and their stakeholders, they continue to work to inform policymakers. They're working with the state Medicaid agency to try and persuade them to no longer pay for these deliveries as well. Of course, it helps that the private payer will no longer be paying for them, and so more work continues. Thank you so much for your attention and allowing me to share this. Well, I will tell you that the fact of the matter when we started looking at this issue was that it just had not even been trended. So I've had a lot of feedback that the results definitely needed to be documented for different populations, and I'm sensitive to that. But that's really more of the Department of Health's role to do that, and so they've actually added on their vital statistics website the ability to pull that data by multiple years, by multiple demographics, by even by county. You can look at the rates. So, thanks. Well, we haven't actually looked at the drivers of that. We had started to see a decline, although it was still higher than most other states. We were at about 9 per 100,000, and right now we're at 8.1 per 100,000. So that's occurred within the last couple of years. So, you know, it's hard to tell causality, and this is a rather new initiative, so I can't say that definitively, though.
Thank you to Amy, and I know she has to leave, but we'll move on to the next presenter.